Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Happy that you are with us today, listening to us from on your radio, podcast replay, in-studio video replay, radio app, however you're doing it. Thank you for being with us. Honey, be healthy, Holly.
Since 2000, Honey Bee Healthy Inc. has helped beekeepers maintain healthy and thriving hives. Attracting pollinators to your garden this year is as simple as hanging a hummingbird feeder with a mixture of sugar water and Honey Bee Healthy Original. Don't be alarmed to see birds, bees, and butterflies dining together at the feeder. Pollinators coexist peacefully. Honey Bee Healthy Inc. is offering a 10% discount on an 8-ounce bottle of Honey Bee Healthy Original to this show's listeners. Enter discount code BEEGARDEN, that's BEEGARDEN, at checkout. For more information, everything, go to honeybeehealthy.com. That's honey, the letter B, healthy.com.
Throughout the program, you're going to hear coupon codes such as that and Walton's and many others. If you're not able to capture those or write them down or remember them, we have an easy way for you to get a hold of them. You go to our parent website, which is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the money tab at the top of the page, and they are all listed for you, and you just have to insert the coupon code at the time of purchase. Well, seed starting basics. Now, some people, Holly, never start a seed. They just go to their garden center, independent garden center, and buy their starts each spring. Nothing wrong with that. However, now, there's a however with this. Each year now, if you have kept any sort of memory records of each time you go there each spring, the plants are getting more and more and more expensive. So by starting at least some percentile of seeds or plants inside or prior to planting them outside, not buying starts, you can save quite a bit of money. You can go to Jung Seed and use coupon code 10TG24, save 10% on your order, and get 25 tomato seedlings, for example, for $2 or $2.50, I forget what it is now, instead of buying one tomato plant for like $6. And not all seeds you have to start inside. Tell your story.
So, tell my story.
Yes.
So, growing, and Joey has now experienced this. Growing up, we did not start seeds. I didn't know seed starts were a thing. So, we would just, in Wisconsin here, that's where we're out of, we would plant the seeds Memorial Day weekend. That was our time.
That's the target date for most times, yeah. But I think it's changing now in a
right.
lot of areas.
Right. So, and we wouldn't, we wouldn't start seedlings inside or anything like that. We would just put them outside.
Peppers, eggplants, tomatoes, every single thing.
Every single yeah. thing. I don't know. I don't remember if we started peas earlier. Probably not, though. So, yeah. So we would just do that. And then we would have nice tomatoes and zucchini and peppers and all the things.
Now, again, because of what the advantage is to starting a seed or a plant start inside or buying it is you're getting a healthy plant start already. When you see on the package days to maturity, it's not, okay, I planted it inside, now I start the days, it says, you know, 87 days to get a tomato. That's not how that works. It's unique math. If it's from the time you take the seedling and put it in the ground outside. So if you start your seed, like a tomato, like you did, and it takes 87 days, you put it in the ground and your clock starts at 87 days. When we start seeds inside, we get a nice tomato start, but the clock doesn't start until we take that seedling and plant in the ground. Then that 87 days, even though it may be in the root maker grow trays for 8 weeks, 4 to 8 weeks, so whatever that's, 24 to 56 days, that doesn't count towards the days to the time it's ready to harvest.
Right. So we did this. We did this past summer.
Yes.
With tomatoes, and how'd that go for us?
It went well. We didn't weed very well, so that was a strike against us. But the tomatoes equaled out from the ones we had started indoors. We planted them, and then we planted another row right beside them of just straight seeds out of the package. And by the end of the season, they were the same size and producing the same amount of fruit. So this year, we will not start tomato seeds indoors. We will and have started peppers. We will start eggplants. We've started celery. We will start onions and leeks.
Yeah.
Those, but tomatoes we will not. Peppers are a very slow growing plant. We'll also do Brussels sprouts because it takes a long time to get those going. But tomatoes, we will not waste our time starting them inside, maximizing our space indoors to grow the plants in which we know will need a little help of a jump start. So when to plant your seeds indoors is all determined on your last average frost date by the USDA Growing Hardiness Zone. That's just a guideline, average of the last 10 years. They've changed a lot of that this past year, and it's 8 weeks before or 12 weeks before your last average frost date. That just gives you a guideline in which to start the seeds. That doesn't mean if tomorrow is your last average frost date, you can put your plants in the ground tomorrow afternoon or the next day. It's all based on root zone temperature and long-range forecast. What to plant in and free fertilizer or not.
Right, so you can use a seed starting mix. You can use just a nice compost.
Usually the store generic brand.
Yeah.
That if it's a slow-release fertilizer, it's mixed
But when
in.
We say store generic brand, we mean from a garden center.
Garden center, not
yeah,
from
not
a drugstore. Right.
So, yeah. So, but if you, a lot of times you'll see these little, like, they're called peat pots, and they're the expandable ones. People will get those, especially when they're newer to seed starting because they're convenient.
Yeah.
They're cute, whatever. There's like a little tray you can get with them. But those don't have any sort of fertilizer. They don't have any like plant food.
That's
or
just
anything.
Compressed cocoa core.
So you want to, then you would have to fertilize, feed them after a couple of weeks.
And that's what people find that they plant and what everything's going good. And now it's, they don't look good because the seed has utilized all the energy that has stored up, nature has stored up in the seed coat to get that plant up and going. And then now you're needing to require to supplement, feed that plant if you're not in a all purpose, slow release fertilizer potting mix that you get for half the price at your independent garden center because it is the store brand and not a name brand.
Right. So, yeah. So you want to keep that in mind that whatever you're starting them in, that they have some sort of food. As far as if you have a nice potting soil mix or compost, you don't have to fertilize that.
We've grown straight compost before.
Yeah.
Out of the compost bin on the porch. Yeah.
Before putting them into the ground, they'll have enough food in them getting from starting the seed until you get them outside.
Should you transplant these things or leave them where they...
You can transplant some of them. You can if you have some older seeds like we have, sometimes we'll do like this over planting, and then once the ones that we know are going to be viable come up, we do transplant them.
We start them in a party cup and plant, let's say, for the peppers, 20 or 30 peppers in a red solo cup, and then we will sort them out and put them, the healthiest ones, in a root maker grow tray, and then that will be where they will stay until we take them out, harden them off, and put them in the ground. So you could start them in the tray right away if the space is allowed, and if you have the space, if you have a greenhouse, climatized, all that stuff. But most of us don't have that space, and space is a premium, so that's why we do the cups first, find the best ones, and then move them up to a seed starting tray.
So where to plant? So this is something that you would have to determine based on things like how warm of an area you have in your home. If it is something where it's a cooler area and you can give a little heat, you can plant there. But you want to make sure you have sunlight, and you also want to make sure that you're keeping these things away from any children that might mess with them or pets or whoever
else. Well, sunlight or a really good grow light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm saying that if you're not utilizing a grow light,
right,
you want to keep that in mind that you have to have sunlight. And so it's like a south-facing window is good. We used a west-facing window without a grow light for a long time.
Rotated the plants every night.
Rotated the plants, yep.
Also, whenever you go outside and plant them, Holly, you want to look up.
Yeah,
because just because there's no leaves now, it can be pretty shady in the summer.
This is something you probably should have done in the fall or late summer to look to see if you, especially if you're new to this, but that's okay. You can usually kind of guess where overhanging trees or buildings or whatever might be. So a heat mat.
Yeah, biggest question here.
Some people, you know, I don't know if this is like being said on garden blogs or whatever, but some people think that you need a heat mat to start your peppers. And that's not true. If you have a room temperature home, you know, 68, 70 degrees or warmer, you're fine. You don't need a heat mat. Now, if you have a basement that's chilly or an attic or a breezeway or something, then you might want to get a heat mat for peppers. Peppers do like that warmth when they're germinating. However, don't go to your, pantry or whatever, coat closet, and get your heating pad, like your drugstore heating pad, you want to use like an actual horticultural heat mat, because it's going to allow for temperatures. It's not going to automatically shut off, things like that.
And if you get a little water on it, it's not potentially going to zap you.
Right. I don't know if like the newer heating pads from the drugstore are a zap chance.
Well, I'm sure if you got them wet, that's not going to be healthy or safe. A horticultural grade mat is designed to kind of, if it gets moisture on it, it's not going to, you know, potential. As we talked earlier at the beginning of this segment, if you can plant directly in the ground, that is going to be your best bet for convenience as well as cost savings, because you're not buying starts. But absolutely, there is nothing wrong with buying plant starts. We will buy plant starts this year. We've bought plant starts, and even when we've tried to start 80 to 90% of our plants to plant them outside, we have bought plant starts. So there's not a knock to you if you are only a plant start buyer.
Right. Yeah, there's no problem with that. And there's been times where, like Joy has mentioned, we've bought plant starts just because
it's a good backup.
It's a good backup. It's a good backup plan. Sometimes we go to the garden center, and this probably happens to a lot of people. We're looking at one thing. Oh, we wander over to the veggie plant starts. Well, we don't have this tomato, or we don't have this pepper, or we have some room for this.
Or we have a gift card from there, so we just go ahead and utilize it and buy plant starts.
That too. Yeah, you have a gift card, or you have points or whatever else. So definitely there's no shame in buying the plant starts.
Well, soon it will be warming up, Holly, and you will want to make sure you can enjoy your yard without those pesky beetles and grubs. You don't want to share your yard with them.
Yeah, there's always talk in the news about Japanese beetles. People are always, you know, they're taking over. It's getting worse, whatever. Your neighbor, the Japanese beetles, whatever. So with spring just around the corner.
Is that what the neighbor sounds like?
Yes.
People's going, that's what Fred sounds like.
Yeah, see? With spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling beetles and grubs in your garden or your yard.
GrubGon can be applied to your turf or garden or around ornamentals to control the grubs and lessen the impact that those beetles have on your yard this summer. Easy to use and apply with a commercial spreader, or irrigate it right into your soil. Biological that is specifically targeted for grubs and beetle invaders without harming beneficial bees such as ladybugs and butterflies.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. Find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's PHYLLOM bioproducts.com.